consideration. There was also one of the key issues was about the site and associated noise. And gentlemen, for me, I think one of the key pieces that was proffered before the commission was when Mr. Palkowitz put on the easel the aerial showing this 17 acres surrounded by several hundred acres that is also owned by the applicant, the issue of adequate buffers and noise abatement and things like that were answered for me. One last thing, there was some conversations about how perhaps historically the applicant may have conducted business and different operations on his properties that we could not consider. However, I would say to the public as well as to the applicant that if my motion is for recommendation is seconded and forwarded and county council acts on this, I have all the confidence that the planning and zoning staff as well as myself will be watching the site to see that it is operated under the very specific conditions that I will detail in my motion. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move that we recommend approval of conditional use 1897 for Russell V. Banks for a borrow pit based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons, those reasons being this application is for a borrow pit on 30.78 acres of land. The area covered by the borrow pit itself is only approximately 17 acres. The land is part of several contiguous parcels totaling approximately 106 acres owned by the applicant. A need exists in the area for dirt, sand, and gravel. The material removed from this site will be used locally and throughout the county for a variety of residential and commercial uses and road construction. Thirdly, the borrow pit operation will be limited to areas that are currently farmed and will not generate significant tree removal. Fourthly, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or the community. Five, DelDOT has stated that entrances for the use as a borrow pit are appropriate for and from either County Road 348 or 349, but orally expressed a preference for Road 348 since that provides a more direct route to Route 26. The applicant is proposing an entrance via Route 348. DelDOT will specify entrance and roadway improvements as part of the final site plan review and the approval process. Six, the use of the project is of a public or semi-public character that will provide a source of fill dirt available to the entire county. This use is essential and desirable for the general convenience, safety, and welfare of the current and future residents of the county. Seven, buffers will be established along all the borders. Eight, the borrow pit will be isolated and integrated into the existing terrain and surrounded by the natural landscape as well as incorporating the required buffers and extensive setbacks. This will be no obvious borrow operations visible from Irons Lane or Old Mill Road that would negatively affect the area. This recommendation for approval is, however, subject to the following conditions and stipulations, and them being A, that no material shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. B, a water or a water truck shall be available to control dust from road traffic when conditions require. C, as stated by the applicant, the entrance to the borrow pit shall be from Irons Lane. However, if dictated by DelDOT, the entrance could be from Old Mill Road that would have to fall within the road frontage of the parcel that is the subject of this application. D, any roadway and entrance improvements required by DelDOT shall be completed by the applicant. All entrances shall be secured when the borrow pit is not in operation. E, the hours of operation for the business on this site shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturdays. There shall not be any borrow pit activity on Sundays. F, no materials shall be stored on any access roads or within any buffer area. F, no fuel shall be stored on site for borrow pit operations. No dredging activities shall be permitted on the site. H, no dewatering activities will occur on site. I, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the site of the borrow pit. J, the borrow pit shall have benches and 3-to-1 slopes, and the slopes shall be seeded and planted to control erosion. The pit shall not be greater than 25 feet deep at any point. K, a final site plan, including all pit slopes, excavation phasing, and reclamation plans, shall be reviewed and approved by this, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, prior to the commencement of operations. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance. L, the applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and sediment control regulations. M, a buffer shall be maintained along the perimeter of all boundaries of at least 50 feet in width, as shown on the preliminary site plan. The buffer area shall include a 30-foot-wide vegetated buffer of native species trees. Existing natural vegetation and tree growth within the buffer areas shall remain undisturbed. O, every 5 years after the start of excavation, the Office of Planning and Zoning may inspect the site and request written comments from all appropriate state agencies so that the Planning and Zoning Commission can review the comments and verify compliance with all regulations. P, the applicant shall comply with all of the requirements as set forth in Section 115-72B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. Q, it is recommended that County Council require performance guarantees to ensure completion of any approved reclamation plan pursuant to Section 115-172B, Section 6E. R, the excavated area shall not exceed 17 acres, which shall be divided into two phases. The second phase shall not be started until the first phase is completed. The phase line shall be the hedgerow line that currently exists across the site. S, the borrow pit shall be no closer than 200 feet from the boundary to property of other ownership. And further, no structure shall be built or placed within 200 feet of the limits of the excavation. Lastly, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of this, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Smooth.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I was not present at the public hearing, but I have reviewed the file. I've reviewed the tapes and the information provided at the public hearing, and I'm prepared to vote.
All right, sir. Well, under the rules of the commission, that is permissible. If you have listened to the tape, reviewed the data, and we'll appreciate your vote. It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 1897, Russell V. Banks, for the reasons and with the stipulation stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. With anyone here that might have an interest in that application, I just want to remind everyone that planning and zoning on a conditional use application makes a recommendation to County Council. There will be another public hearing in front of County Council, and then County Council will make the final decision. So anyone who has an interest in that, this is not fully decided at this time. We have simply made our recommendation to the council. Our next item is subdivision 2011-3, Keith Properties.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, this is also a application at which at our last meeting I asked for deferral, I believe, on this one. And refreshing the memories of those that have an interest in this as well as those on the commission, there were just a lot of objections, things that came up concerning the right-of-way. In my further consideration since we last met, I did not see where there was much wrong with the subdivision, nor was there much comment in opposition to the subdivision as far as site plans, amenities, things of that nature. But I'd be interested in hearing a comment from Mr. Robertson, who I'm sure has reviewed this in the past 2 weeks, as to the issues and items of the right-of-way and what direction we should take as far as consideration of that in our deliberations and a motion either for or against this subdivision.
Okay. As Mr. Smith, as he said, I did take some time to look at this, particularly the record. As you'll recall, this was a subdivision that was presented, I don't know, a year or so ago, and there was questions about whether it had access to a 50-foot right-of-way, which is required by Section 9917 of the Subdivision Code. Since that prior application and in the exhibit booklet, the applicant provided quite a bit of information and documentation that was obtained from not only DLDOT, but from also the county's land records here downstairs in the Recorder of Deeds. And going through those, they're fairly significant in what they describe and confirm with regard to the roadways leading up to the Keith Properties property. When you go back through, it tracks back basically to 1975, when the Council on Highways approved and accepted the dirt road leading from County Road 336 to Pepper Creek into the state maintenance system, subject to the donation of the 50-foot wide right-of-way at that point. And that's based on documents that were provided in 1975. Division of Highways at that point, the chief of right-of-way, stated that the easements for the road from County Road 336 to Pepper Creek have been acquired. So there's a confirmation that they were actually obtained. And then, actually, in terms of the order that it was presented in the exhibit book, in 1993 and 1994, there's memoranda between internally, really, in the Department of Transportation, confirming that Marina Road, as was described in the public hearing, was placed into DLDOT's inventory of roadways. And really what's most important is the applicant presented easement agreements that are recorded in the Recorder of Deeds downstairs, so the recorded documents stating that everybody on both sides of what's now Marina Road leading back to Keith Properties conveyed an easement for a right-of-way of 25 feet on either side. So the center line was, the 25 feet went to the center line of a 50-foot right-of-way that goes all the way back. Based on that, particularly the recorded easements, because those are recorded documents, it's clear to me, or I'm satisfied, that there is a 50-foot right-of-way for the purposes of the subdivision code. Saying that, however, ultimately, DLDOT is going to be the one that has the final say on this. If preliminary approval is granted by the commission, the applicant still needs to go to DLDOT to get the final entrance worked out and access to its roadways before they're going to be able to come back to the county for final site plan approval. DLDOT still gets another opportunity to look at this. What I'm concerned about, there was some question about whether, you know, this is enough from DLDOT. I'm satisfied it is because of the recorded easements. What I'm concerned about is that we can't impose some greater requirement or additional step for an applicant to verify that they're on a county road than we would apply to anybody else.
Are there recorded easements continuous from Keith's property to the road that constitute a 50-foot continuous easement?
Yes.
And they're all recorded?
They're all recorded, yeah, and they're supplied by the applicants.
Okay.
I think probably part of the concern, and I think this was explained by Mr. Scott during his presentation, because he said he had difficulty locating them. Honestly, they may not be indexed that well. Nevertheless, they're recorded documents.
But they exist?
They exist, and you know they've got the book and page stamp on them from downstairs in the Recorder of Deeds. You know, and they've been recorded. There may be some folks that did not realize that they exist in their chain of title, but that doesn't make them, you know, invalid or anything of that nature. So, you know, they exist. There's 25 feet from each side meeting up for a 50-foot right-of-way the whole way back to Keith Properties. So, and let me add one thing. There was a concern by the public, too, that they were going to be giving up more rights, or I'm not going to give up more land.
Right.
That's not going to happen because the easement's been previously granted, so anything that occurs, to the extent there would be anything that occurred, would be within that area that they already granted or their predecessors entitled granted back in 1975.
And are you suggesting that perhaps that notification of the easement or description of the easement did not find its way into the chain of title?
Well, I haven't done title searches for all those properties. I'm just basing that on what Mr. Scott said.
It concerns me a lot that the folks don't seem to realize that this situation existed because...
Well, several of the folks that appeared and testified still own the properties, and their names are on it. So while it may not appear of record, they signed it, and it was notarized back in 1975. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are the same owners now that there were then. Some have since changed hands, but, yeah.
Okay, that's us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mr. Robertson, I guess some of the testimony indicated that DelDOT's easement went to Pepper Creek, not just to Keith's properties, and then some of it doesn't indicate that. This is DelDOT's documentation that was presented. Is there a way that we can ask the applicant or DelDOT to ensure where that easement, if it's a public easement, all the way to Pepper Creek, or if it does stop at Keith properties?
I suppose we could ask DelDOT that, or if there was going to be a motion for approval, that they would need to verify that as part of the final site plan process.
That's what I'm thinking is that, you know, we really don't have much to say about DelDOT's easements or access, but I think now is the time to understand where that clearly starts and stops, and that really is up to DelDOT to determine, not for us to determine.
Right. Look, and I'll add on to that. It's clear from the easements that it goes at least as far as Keith properties. Right. And perhaps a little bit further. I think your question is the little bit further. How far does it go? Yeah.
Much further.
The threshold question for the county, though, is in terms of the subdivision code, is there 50 feet access at the point of the boundary to this property? And there is that. The question Mr. Ross is asking, which is a good one, is
how
much further does it go, and is it worthwhile to have the DelDOT public right-of-way go all the way down to the marina?
Well, the common sense observation is, you know, why would the state want to own an easement that's a dead end? It's not something typically the state desires to do at any time that I've been associated with DelDOT. Now, there was some discussion about access to the marina, access to boat ramps and all, but that's an issue between DelDOT and others.
I mean, it's certainly possible that it could run all the way through, and that the purpose would have been that they wanted to maintain public access to the marina. But that's not an issue for us. That's an issue for them, and it's one that somebody better get figured out, if it's for sure. But it's beyond scope of our responsibility.
Yeah. I think
our ability.
Yeah, like I said, that goes beyond the sort of the requirements that need to be satisfied. But I think that's a legitimate thing to take into account if there was going to be some point of recommendation or a motion for approval. To get that sorted out with DelDOT on the final site plan to show exactly where it is.
Can that be a condition of a motion?
I think it could be. That'd be a final site plan condition to show precisely where
the
right of
way
ends within the property.
It's not our problem, but they have to work it out before we can move forward. Yeah.
They'll typically get the entrance approval from DelDOT since Marina Road is considered dedicated, so we would have to have an entrance approval from DelDOT.
That's right. So they're going to have to deal with it.
And you can throw in the caveat that they need to clarify where the easement ends. Some of those references were 1,000 foot.
Yeah, which would take it into Keith Properties.
Take it into it, not just to the beginning of it.
And like I said, just to be clear, that's all well and good that it goes some point into it. The code says it needs to get to the point of the property, and it does do that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
That answer your question, Mr. Smith?
Yes, thank you. Does anybody else on the commission have any question or comment at this time? Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robertson's clearly done a lot, and just here in the span of the last 5 to 8 minutes, given us a lot of information. I would like, this is a subdivision with no particular time of the essence to make a motion. I would like to defer this for further consideration and also to allow the public as well as the applicant to review either the minutes of this meeting
or the audio tape so they could review and hear again what Mr. Robertson just stated. Mr. Chairman, my motion on subdivision 2011-3 Keith Properties is for deferral at this time.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2011-3 Keith Properties. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carried. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearing.